Grace to you and peace from God who creates and redeems and sustains all things. Amen. Years ago, we went to a play. The name of the play was, Is He Dead Yet? The whole story was about an artist. He was a pretty fair artist, but just couldn't seem to make the kind of commercial success that he had hoped for. His painting sold to a few friends and a few people who kind of liked them, but his desire was that his paintings would sell for huge amounts of money and that finally he would be respected and known as an artist. He noticed one day one of his colleagues died, and suddenly his paintings were suddenly worth so much more. It turned out death was good for business. So he disappeared, put on a dress, became, I think, his aunt, and announced that he had died. And sure enough, his paintings began to sell like hotcakes. Everyone wanted to be a part of having one of his amazing paintings. At one point in the play, he quips that these are the same paintings that just a little while ago barely paid the rent. The same paintings by the same hand, but now he was dead. Something about death, he muses, makes me worth more. Our gospel lesson for today is full of death. It's kind of depressing, but then again, the fifth Sunday of Lent often is. We've just come off of Lazarus being raised from the dead. And do you remember the story? In that story, Jesus dawdles on his way back to see Lazarus. Mary and Martha beg him to come, and he says, you know, I've got this other thing to do, and I'll be there. And Lazarus, of course, is dead. And in our text that we hear that story from, it says he not only is dead, he's really dead. He's been in there for 3 days. The stench is horrible, and yet the tomb is opened. Lazarus comes walking out at the command of Jesus. And he smells. Mary and Martha rejoice. Now, a bit later, we find this dead Lazarus sitting at table with Jesus, fully alive and welcomed back into the community. Jesus is in his final road to Jerusalem. And there at table, Mary anoints his feet with a pound of costly nard. Just a few verses before, we heard about the stench of the cave where Lazarus was, and now we have this beautiful image of the aroma of the nard filling the room. And the scent of that perfume, as it's poured over Jesus' feet by his friend, does nothing to quench the stench of death or deny its impending visit for Jesus, because we sort of know what's going on. And Jesus will even say it, look, she bought this perfume to anoint me for my death. Don't deny her from that. But the perfume cannot lock that reality away. Rather, its aroma serves as a pervading reminder here at the end of Lent that Jesus' journey leads to the cross. The very air is filled with it. It's filled with the smell of death, that sweetness. It sticks to our clothes and our coats and in our nostrils, and we cannot escape what Jesus willingly and willfully walks toward, no matter how hard we try to deny it. No matter how hard we try to put it away like Peter did as he was there in the garden. Like Peter did when Jesus sought to anoint him and he says, you know, don't wash me, it's just too much for me, Jesus. Don't wash my feet. And then he wants, well, just wash all of me. And Jesus is like, your feet are fine. It's enough. And yet that same Peter will be the one who in the garden, in the courtyard, outside the court, will deny Jesus. We can't deny it that death is coming, or even deny it like the other disciples did when they ran away as Jesus was arrested, or hide like some of his friends. The undeniable truth is that we cannot escape the desert of Jesus' death or our own. It will come. But it is not the end. In our text in Isaiah, Isaiah announces to a people who, for all intents and purposes, had known nothing but death and destruction and war. And Isaiah says to them and to us, look, God is making a new way. A new way, a new road is being built in God. Though death is as old as time, yet God in Isaiah reminds us, I am about to do a new thing. It springs forth. And I love this. It just feels like my mother. Can't you see it? I will make a new way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. God reminds God's people in that text and reminds us today that death will not have the last word. That the stench of death is not the end. As Mary pours that nard over the feet of Jesus and wipes it off of her feet, and that aroma fills the air, certainly that is for many the stench of death, but for others, a reminder of life. I think it's no accident that we here at LCH, that we use incense in the four Wednesdays of Lent and during Holy Week. And at the vigil, the perfume of it fills the air. Much like it must have felt that day in the room with Jesus, it fills the air and we smell it and we know it. And every single year when we do that, I am reminded, oh yes, something is coming. This is not the end. The darkness, that time out in the courtyard where we hear endless, endless readings and wonder, please God, will it ever end? The same is true for death. Remember, Lazarus's rising was not a one-day event. We sometimes forget that Lazarus stayed risen. That on this day of our text, he sits with Jesus and takes table and eats with sinners and tax collectors and those that Jesus should not have been eating with family and friends and with us. He continues to serve and to love and to hope and to bring comfort to his sisters. And though Mary pouring the oil on Jesus' feet presages his impending death, it equally reminds us that he will live. And that his resurrection is not a one-day event followed by a potluck at Ruby Tuesdays and then get on with our business. Jesus' resurrection lives on in you and in me and in the whole church and in all of God's people and all of creation. The nard has been poured out on us as much as it has been poured on the feet of Jesus. It isn't just that at the back of our mind we know that Easter will come and we can be done with all of this terrible Lent stuff. Sorry. It's just you and me, sister. It's that Easter becomes who we are for life. The resurrected people not bound by our own death that we embrace so closely and that we fear so deeply. Easter becomes who we are. Life becomes who we are. And we are called to that new road, that new way being made in the wilderness, the river, and the desert. And it's not a temporary reprieve. It's a permanent reality in the life of all who God loves. All who believe. All who serve. And all who love. Easter is coming, and it comes. And it begins in a little perfume poured out on the feet of Jesus and upon our own feet. And it fills the room and our lives and our senses and our hope with its aroma. And we are reminded that God's love and God's life has been given to you. Forever. Amen. We invite you to rise as you are able or desire for our hymn of the day.